Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Aaron, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, holy crap, our team is on a win streak.
That's right.
Okay, you a doubter. You thought, oh, this team sucks. It could be the worst team ever.
I had over 27 and a half wins. Don't call me a doubter.
Well,
I put something on it.
You know what? They're on pace right now.
They're not on pace for 27 and a half wins.
Oh, yeah, if they win every game from here on out.
No. if they maintain the win streak.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, no. Listen, so they got 16 losses, right? So that's 56 wins. 66 wins. 66 and 16 they could finish right now.
If they win out. Yeah.
Right.
If they win out, that's the highest number they can win.
Look at the pace they're on right now.
They could, so just put it in perspective, they could go on what would be a 65-game win streak and not touch the Bulls or the Warriors in terms of those best records ever.
Right.
With a 65-game win streak.
Well, that's all right. Okay.
They would beat, if they win 65 straight, they will beat the Rockets' all-time best win total.
That was 65, with Chris
Paul,
right?
65.
Yeah.
With Chris Paul. Yeah. The Chris Paul-led Rockets. But the good news is, the Rockets have won 3-0. And yesterday, they take care of business. And here's something weird has happened. A guy who's consistently in the minus 20s and sometimes in the minus 30s and the plus-minus, your rookie and the guy that you're supposed to build your whole team around, Jalen Green, he's been out with injury, and all these wins pop up. Now, I'm not saying Jalen Green is a problem. What I am saying is that chemistry matters, even for a bad team.
Is it chemistry so much as when he shoots, he's really bad
at
it?
When I say chemistry doesn't have to mean personalities. Chemistry also means having people who have defined roles.
Yeah.
You had just guys who just did stuff. Yeah. Well, now, all of a sudden, you've got Garrison Matthews with five three-point. No, I'm saying Garrison Matthews. Where was this guy when Daryl? White guy from David Lipscomb in Tennessee. David Lipscomb is like a religious college that's known for shooting a crap ton of threes.
Maybe this team just needed some more religion.
Well, what they need is more white guy three-point shooters with Daryl Morey. Why? Yeah. How come Daryl Morey? Daryl, everyone knew, like, where's your – you're going to run this 1-4 set. Don't you want to have some guys who are sharpshooters?
Yeah.
Don't you want to get guys
who can actually make baskets from three?
Don't you want to get guys who shoot over 40% from three?
Right.
I mean, if you're going to have a white guy from David Lipscomb, you want it on a three-point shooting team more than likely.
Listen, he was with Washington the last 2 years.
He shot it well last year.
41%, 38%. Now he's 39%, all from three.
I'm not even joking, really. That's the kind of guy you should be targeting when you had James Harden.
No, absolutely.
It's just a guy who shoots threes.
Instead of Corey Brewer.
But look what happens when you take a guy who just does stuff like Jalen Green, and that's fine. He's a rookie. I mean, he's still learning. He's still learning to play basketball. He's a little baby. He can't even do, like, he's got the tiniest, thinnest, no muscular arms. Like, he's literally like a tiny, young.
Is he Chet Holmgren?
Workout guy. What?
Chet Holmgren? No.
Chet Holmgren.
Gonzaga, the 7-footer from Gonzaga?
No, he's not.
Who? Kevin Durant thinks he needs to work out.
I know. Kevin Durant's the king.
Well, I don't know. Chet Holmgren is taking over.
He's a thin dude, too. Evan Mobley felt like it also.
By the way, did you happen to watch that Duke-Gonzaga game?
I didn't see it.
I saw it. It's Paolo Banchero.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that dude's real. That dude is the number one pick.
I tell you what, Gonzaga is going to be hard to beat.
Well, Duke this beat year. Him.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Oh, they're the one. Oh, that must be when I was on vacation.
Duke beat them. Yeah.
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 That was lights out.
It was the day after Thanksgiving. Anyway, it was Duke. Duke is good. Real good.
Well,
they got Williams at center, who's probably the third pick overall.
I don't care about Duke. You know who else is really good?
They're good.
Who cares? The Rockets are real good, too.
The Rockets are great. No, it's one of the best
teams. In their last three, they are 3-0. They've got another win. They've stacked another win up. But the point is, Jalen Green, who just does things, and he's just trying to figure things out, and he'll take bad shots from bad angles. You replace him with somebody who has a very focused job, and they do their job fairly well, and Garrison Matthews, especially in a given game against Oklahoma City, and Christian Wood is, you know, some of those possessions that used to be Jalen Green's, now they're Christian Wood's. And look how things clean up a little bit.
Yeah.
And that's why it's important to have the right guys combined together on the floor, not just a collection of guys.
So, question. You win three games here. Now,
I'm not overreacting with Jalen Green.
Is getting minutes. And I've heard some criticism of Daniel House. Why is Daniel House even on this team?
Fans hate Daniel House.
You're rebuilding and blah, blah, blah. You need some guys. You still need some veterans, okay? Daniel House is here. He's getting on the floor. You know, Eric Gordon is still getting on the floor. John Wall wants back, but they can't agree on him. You know,
yeah, because he wants to join the winner.
Yeah,
well, now he wants to jump on the wagon.
Well, I think he wanted to. I think it started before that. But
hey, James Harden, you miss us yet?
But you know, what do you do with Jalen Green when he comes back? Now you throw him back out there with Kevin Porter, and listen, Kevin Porter was 4 for 17. 1 for 8.
No, he and Jalen put up same box scores.
Gang that can't shoot straight.
He and Jalen are the same guy. They're very similar.
So what do you do?
You can't have two. Okay, you can't have two Kevin Porters or two Jalen Greens.
But you see how you're playing now. You know, Şengün still isn't getting all that many minutes. Armani Brooks is getting more minutes, and he didn't shoot well last night. But we've seen him, get some points. Kenyon Martin Jr. has played well last night, notwithstanding. But what, Jay Sean, what do you do? Honestly, now this is a real question. What do you do with Jalen Green when he comes back? You see how much better a team you are without him.
You just try to figure out how to make him better and make it work. You're not the goal this year is to get better and propel yourself for next year. I say that. I mean, it should be. I don't know. Maybe their goal is different. But I think the goal shouldn't be to try to win as many games as you can this year. You set yourself up for success in the future. It's building blocks, and no matter how no matter what jokes you make or I make about Jalen or, you know, our snide comments, their job is to get Jalen Green ready to be a big time NBA player. So you got to figure out what that means. I mean, for me, it's moving Kevin Porter Jr. out of there. I'm sorry, I just don't think KPJ needs to be in a position of influence on the court. I'm just not a fan of it. I don't think he has no point guard, no legitimate point guard talent to lead a team. And I think that he and Green together are a bad combination. I don't think it serves either one of them at all. So I would be much happier with a guy like, you know, Eric Gordon in the lineup, Garrison coming off the bench and finding another actual true one somewhere in the league. It doesn't have to be a big name guy, just somebody who can steady the ship a little bit and let Jalen Green learn. I mean, and then you got Christian Wood, and then you're bringing along Şengün off the bench, and you know, you brought a couple of your young guys up from the G League yesterday. You moved them up to the big team. So I don't know. Jalen Green is still a massive, massive key. Remember, I'll go all the way back to Dirk. People thought Dirk was a scrub his rookie year with the Mavericks because he was a skinny guy who was getting pushed around. Yao looked terrible early in his stint with the Houston Rockets, or he's like, same thing. You just have to wait. Dirk was a young guy who got pushed around. He was too thin, and then all of a sudden it really clicked. It's going to click with Jalen Green. He just doesn't know how to play yet.
Yeah.
He knows how to make plays.
Well,
he doesn't know how to play.
Well, we'll see what kind of workout. I mean,
you gonna give up on a
19-20 year old? No, I'm not giving up on him. All I'm saying is he's not a good shooter. He's bad. He's a bad shooter. Mm-hmm. And you know, and so far, so is Kate.
He's got a pretty shot though.
Jalen
Green. Does Jalen Green not have a really pretty shot?
No.
Oh,
Jalen really Suggs ugly, is actually out now. Cade Cunningham is bad. He has been really bad.
That's what I'm saying.
Jalen Green has been bad. Evan Mobley, right now.
No.
It looks like the Cavs got it right. The Cavs are the only one.
The Cavs got it right, but the other team that got it right is Scotty Barnes. That's your rookie of the year. He's the one that they drafted ahead of Jalen Suggs, and everyone was like, wait a minute, Jalen Suggs in the fourth pick? And like, nah, we're going to get the guy who's averaging 15.2 points a game and 8.3 rebounds as a rookie. Scotty Barnes is substantially better than this rookie class. And like guys like Cade Cunningham and Jalen Green, the first two picks, they're not even close to playing how Scotty Barnes is playing. And but it takes time. Cade had a year. Jalen had a year that wasn't even college basketball. What Cade's doing should just tell you this is why. And Jalen Suggs, for that matter. This is why we can't just start writing off Jalen Green, because there's so much more basketball.
Oh, no, there's a bunch of
to be learned, to be played. But he's got to be serious about his craft. He's got to work.
Yeah. Oh, no. He's going to have to work.
This can't be about the lifestyle. It's got to be about the life.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, we got to look at Josh Giddey, too, who was the sixth pick overall.
What's he doing?
He was really bad last night.
Oh.
He plays for Oklahoma City, and he was really, really bad.
Yeah, but he's actually having a decent year.
No. He shoots 25% from three.
He's got scoring 10 and 7.
Okay.
That's Jalen-y.
Okay. It's very Jalen. No, he's a 30-some percent from the field and 25% from three.
I mean, look at him.
Yeah.
You knew he was going to struggle early, didn't you?
Well, yeah, he's Australian. Good day. Good day, mate. It's
these guys are much faster than I'm used to. Well, I can jump high. I've got to really put some arch on this to get the ball over the extended arms of these long-arm basketball players from the States.
They're longer.
Yeah. And we're a lot longer.
We have a lot. I mean, and a lot of news to talk about this morning.
We can't get to it in this single segment. Let's hold off our college football until next segment. I want to say the biggest story yesterday to me,
baseball.
Corey Seager grabbing a 10-year, $325 million deal. And all I care about is Houston stories. Corey Seager at 10 years, 325 is terrible news. Just when it starts looking like, wait a minute, if this guy goes here and this guy and then Carlos and the market's softening, and I thought the market might be softening, and then 10 at 325 is like, it's not softening.
10 at 325 might have Carlos a little bit nervous, if you want to know the truth.
Really?
Because he's thought all along, and everybody's thought all along, Carlos is going to be the highest paid guy. I don't believe that anymore.
You think Seager's going to be the highest paid guy?
Oh, yeah. Well, first of all, Scherzer's the highest paid guy, and it's not even close.
I'm talking about guys who are going to play for more than 5 years.
Yeah, I don't believe Carlos is getting this deal. I really don't. We'll talk
about
it.
He's not from one team. And you know what? If you're the Yankees and let's just say Baez goes to the Tigers, and Tigers are still in it. But let's say Baez went to the Tigers. New York, I mean, why would you give Carlos $340 million? Because you want to make him happy?
No.
Realistically, if you know the Astros aren't about that life,
you don't know.
You know what? We're going to do a 8.
Let's talk about it on the other side.
Yeah.
713-780-3776. If you've got any thoughts on it, you're more than welcome to get in. 713-780-3776. Right now, though, we're talking about Coors Light. We're talking about cold, clean, crisp, refreshing. It is the world's most refreshing beer. I love me some Coors. I think we know that. I think if you're on Twitch right now, you can see my Coors Light sticker on my laptop. It's always there. And you know what? It's my identity. It's kind of branded. I don't know if that's a great thing. I don't know that my family is all that proud. I am. I am proud of me.
Who cares about your family?
No, right? Wait. I mean, whatever. Get over it. You don't like it? Lump it. All you got to do right now is pick up a cold, clean, crisp, refreshing 6-pack, 12-pack case of Coors Light. It's the official beer of everything I'm doing, like today. I don't know if you can tell, Lance, what I'll be doing today, but it has to do with golf and Coors Light. There you have it. There you have it. All you got to do is, if you're golfing, like I'm watching Tiger hit balls right now, I'm sure he's got a Coors Light. Why wouldn't he? It's all you got to do is pick up a few Coors Lights and enjoy, my friends. It's the world's most refreshing beer. Coors Light. Climb on, brother.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. The conversation continues on The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Interesting developments yesterday. What with the Rangers? And I don't know, were they bidding against themselves? 10 years, $325 million, okay? After signing Marcus Semien to a 7-year, what was it, 175. Man, holy cow. They spent a half a billion dollars over the last couple of days.
Over $556 million in three deals. You got Seager, you got the Seager deals you mentioned, the Simeon, which I thought Simeon might take them out with. I didn't expect them with Seager. I mean, once you spend that much, and then Gray, man, that is a ton of that's a classic we can't develop talent, we can't draft talent move. So let's buy a half a billion dollars worth of players. That's what losing organizations do. That's a losing franchise move. I don't even think that, to me, I'm not even sure that gets them that much closer to their ultimate goal. I mean, it's nice on paper, but let's see if that even matters.
No.
They wouldn't be the first team to try to buy their way into relevance and have it fail.
There's plenty of teams that buy their way into relevance. The Yankees and the Dodgers do it. The Red Sox do it, too. Now, they do develop some of their own talent, but a lot of times, hey, we've seen the Yankees for years just give away their young talent. The Dodgers have been able to bring up and cultivate some young talent. They've done a nice job with their organization. We also appreciate them giving us Yordan. You know, this is the best thing that could have happened. Seager and Simeon going and disappearing in Texas is the best thing that happened. What's a little scary to me is what the Mariners are doing, picking up Robbie Ray. Robbie Ray was awesome this year. Now Robbie Ray fell off, and was really, really good again. But the Mariners are really going for it now, and they're not that far away. They are not that far away. If they can keep their people together. You know, they added some hitting as much as that team hated Kendall Graveman and the trade that they made with the Astros, had Kendall Graveman leaving, they got better. And they were a force down the stretch. Picking up Robbie Ray is a big move for them. You're right. The Rangers, whatever. They're still gonna suck.
I don't care about
that's the best place. Go there. You know what, Simeon? That's awesome. Well, you will never hear from you again. Corey Seager, congratulations.
That's where people go to die. It's like when somebody in your fantasy league drafts the best player and you know, oh, good.
Yeah, right.
Oh, so some bad fantasy owner that never wins ever, and you're like, oh, good. He'll just bury this player. That's awesome. That's all you need. But Ray gives him a relevant starter. Simeon, they've now got a good defensive infield. Up the middle, and they've got guys that can hit. I mean, that's great. You know, that's great. We'll see if they're relevant from a pitching standpoint. We'll see if they're relevant from an entire lineup standpoint. So I'm not worried about them. To me, I love seeing what I don't love seeing is that deal for Seager. But let's talk about this for a second. 10 years, $325 million. Everybody said the same thing I said, John. But you're saying something different. Everyone's saying, oh, damn it, another 10-year deal for a shortstop, just like Lindor, just like Tatis. I know it was longer, but the point is it's a double-digit year contract now for the third shortstop out there, another one over $300 million guaranteed. Like, this is terrible for the Astros' chances for Carlos Correa. How is it not terrible?
Well, first of all, I don't think that Carlos I think the market is showing what it is. First of all, they got to get the deal done before tomorrow, December 1st. It doesn't look like behind the scenes, there's very little going on. There's very little going on. I think Carlos has made a huge mistake with his agent. Why wouldn't you go with Boris and just let him?
And I hate Boris, but Boris over William, was it William Morris Agency?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Why would you not go with, look, that whole J-Lo and A-Rod thing at the time, I know that they've broken up, but that whole, hey, A-Rod and J-Lo, you know, Daniela loves J-Lo, I'm boys with A-Rod, we're both Puerto Rican guys, he's a guy. Yeah, I mean, that's great, but Scott Boris is a legitimate killer. Like, so much so that everyone hates him because he ruins everything.
Well, you see Boris, guys, you know what Boris told Scherzer? You want him? You better do it right now. And, oh, by the way, you better make him the richest player ever in any sport.
No, he gets things done.
He gets things done. And while front offices hate him, but they respect him, and they know, you know what? They're going to get a professionalism about him. I don't know. I think Carlos has made a huge mistake there. We'll see. But I don't. Corey Seager signing for $325 is a. I think it's a killer for Carlos. Carlos thought all what? Thought all along just, that he was going to be the highest paid. Who named a team that's going to give him $340
Yankees.
Oh, I don't see it.
No, but I mean,
not with the Judge and Stanton contracts they got.
Yeah, no, that's and Cole
and Cole, yeah,
and Cole,
yeah.
You've got a Judge contract you got to worry about. Yeah, I mean, they could do it. They could do it. It would almost mean they'd have to move somebody. You would think. I mean, they're going to be so far over from a tax standpoint. But I don't know. We'll see. If you know there's not another dog in the race. What about, is there any talk about Carlos Correa and the Dodgers?
I have not seen anything on with the Dodgers, no. Listen, they're just going to move Trey Turner over there. That's all. They got Turner. By the way,
they
got one of the best shortstops in baseball still there.
Yeah.
I think they're fine.
No. That guy is up there with Carlos. I don't know. The only thing, he doesn't have Carlos's arm. Everything else, he's got the same thing with Carlos defensively.
Look at the Yankees. Cole, 36. Stanton, 29. Chapman, 18. Judge, 17. LeMahieu, 15. Britton, 14. Severino, 11. Aaron Hicks, 10. Gallo, 9. I just don't see the Yankees coming up and just going, yeah, let's throw another 30.
Bill Plaschke wrote an article November 12th that said this one is all about Corey Seager, and the Dodgers need to do something within their financial power to re-sign him, but legendary battler Scott Boras is his agent, blah, blah, blah. This one's going to be hard to swallow, but hear me out. If Seager cannot play shortstop and anchor their attack next season, the Dodgers need to find somebody who will. That somebody is Carlos Correa. I'm not seeing anything else tied with the, but if they get in, that's the other pace horse. That now with Seager gone, why would they not? Let me ask you this. With Scherzer,
can you see him and Bellinger in the same locker room?
I mean,
shut the F up.
Can you imagine the Yankees and Dodgers battling for Carlos? I would vomit blood all over my children's faces if that happened. Whoa. I would. It would be the worst thing ever if, like, boy, what an amazing battle right now going on, being waged between the Dodgers and the Yankees. Who would have ever thought this for Carlos Correa? But players on both teams were bad-mouthing Carlos, and Carlos told them to bleep the bleep up and bleep his bleep. And like, oh, no, not what? But Scherzer's gone and Seager's gone. Why would they not be able to pay Carlos Correa?
Yeah, right. Well, right.
I mean, honestly, look what they just lost. Look at the leadership, the defense, the bat. Why would they not be in the mix?
No, absolutely. Listen, that would suck. They're paying Turner $18.5 They still got Trevor Bauer on
come
the
on.
Books, dude.
Be fiscally Bauer. Responsible, Dodgers.
Trevor Bauer, $35
I don't see why they would.
That's just money.
If you don't
to the
have Seager, why would you not go after Carlos?
And you know, listen, they got rid of Scherzer and Seager. And they're still the second highest payroll.
No, David, Crane would not go six at $600 million. I can't take these guys serious sometime on Twitter. He's not offering 6 year, $600 million deal.
Why not? Six at 600? No. listen, I don't know. I don't know. This is going to be interesting. I just
7-260.
I don't think
Carlos wants $300 million plus.
Carlos will not be, now that Seager deal is done, Carlos will not be the highest paid position player this offseason.
What is his value? His value is over $300 million easily.
What about doing what we talked about before?
Oh my God,
a shorter term big deal with the Astros.
He's going to be a Dodger.
What about a 3 year, $110 million deal?
No, I've always thought that's a.
What about a 3 year?
I've always thought the best way to approach him isn't going longer.
Yeah, shorter with more money.
Yeah, that's like trying to outscore. You know, that's like trying to outscore the greatest show on turf or something. No. Go per year. Do the per year fight and a chance to get back. The only concern, John, is, well, okay, so it didn't have legs before. Now maybe. If the market softens, you say, you know what? Now, why would the Yankees not do something like that and say, hey, we'll go $40 million a year for 3 years, Carlos? The concern,
because Judge is only making 17. That's why.
I know, but here's the concern.
You know what you're gonna have to pay Judge?
He's gonna have another deal coming up. There'll be a monster. And
yeah,
when is?
But now you're setting a standard for $40 million a year for a position player.
When is Stanton off the books?
There's zero players. By the way, there's one guy in all of, well, two guys in all the sports now between Patrick Mahomes and Max Scherzer that are making $40 million a year.
Okay? Listen,
well. Not, I don't even count basketball. Basketball doesn't count. That's just stupid. I mean, John Wall's going to make 41 next year. That's just ridiculous.
Basketball is in a massive.
That's just stupid.
Basketball, every like 10 years, 12 years, they have to reset their whole structure because they're all screwed up. Because bad players. But listen, Stanton's going to come off the books here sometime around 28. So you can see.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, so he'll be off the books around 28-ish.
28? Okay.
Yeah, right around 28 is where he comes off the books.
So you don't have to really worry about that then.
Yeah, so I'm just saying, 2028 is a club option.
Oh, okay.
So actually comes off the books in 27.
Guess what? Aaron Judge is an unrestricted free agent after next year.
No, that's what I've been saying. They got to sign. Judge is the deal they got to get done.
Well, and if you decide you're going to give Carlos 40 a year, okay, for 3 years, guess what you're going to have to sign Judge to?
I know the Yankees really the Tigers are getting ready to do a deal with Javi Baez.
Yep.
So Baez, so now you got the Tigers off the market. Honestly, here's what's left: Yankees. And it probably isn't going to be, I mean, when you just look at all the contract stuff that they have, especially with Judge coming up, it would be very difficult for them. The Dodgers are your nightmare now, because the Dodgers, like, oh my God, they just lost Scherzer. At least lock up Scherzer. Nope. Scherzer goes Mets. Sager leaves. And so now what you're looking at is a team that has deep pockets now just had a bunch of money open up. That, and they have a position that is potentially open. That is a nightmare. And that's somebody we haven't even talked about or thought about. But why would they not be in the mix?
Well, I don't get it. But that was a deal that really, really shook up the market yesterday, especially for Carlos Correa. Yeah, he's busy having a baby. So, and all of this is coming down. Holy crap. You want to talk about a busy. Carlos Correa's got... I don't know if he's told his agent, but you got to sign. You got to make sure I get somewhere before December 1st, before all of this, before the lockout happens, and we have no idea what's going to happen.
With the CBA. Carlos goes today.
He's got to go today.
Carlos goes today, but you look at, man, if the Dodgers could fight, the Dodgers right now might be praying, I just hope Trevor gets in more trouble so we can get him off our books.
Well, yeah, I don't know. They're going to have to pay.
I mean,
how about they're going to have to pay that off? Because it's their decision not to play him. Trevor Bauer is a mess. You want to talk? It's a Deshaun Watson. By the way, there's Deshaun Watson news that we'll get to on the other side right here on ESPN.
You're lying.
There's Deshaun Watson news that we're going to get to on the other side right here.
There's
on
three
ESPN,
people who are trending all the time: Deshaun Watson, Bill O'Brien, and now Carlos Correa. Every day, Correa is a trending topic. Deshaun Watson is every 4 days.
Well,
Bill O'Brien is every Saturday. Every Saturday, Bill O'Brien training.
Well, no kidding. Time to talk about HRP. Listen, if you are a company that's looking for the best way to get your payroll in, we love these guys. You can call up here, ask David Gow or Laura Beavers about HRP, and they're going to give you nothing but glowing reviews because they are awesome. They have been awesome with us, and they're going to be awesome with you. Went and had lunch with them the week before last, and we were talking about what's going on with HRP, and they said just keep saying what you're saying, and what it is true is you're going to get the payroll when it's all said and done, because these other companies are taking care of payroll, they're taking care of HR, but they're also taking care of your benefits packages. And while they're hiding. Oh, first and foremost is the payroll, right? That they're showing you. Well, that's a great deal. Good, we'll do that. But then when it comes down to it, oh, well, you got to take this benefit. You got to take this 401. You got to take this insurance. You got to say, wow, this really stinks. The whole thing stinks. Then that's not what HRMP does. HRMP just does payroll and HR, and then they give you choices of what's best for your company on all that other stuff. You're looking for that kind of payroll company that's going to be honest, straightforward, customize a deal for you. It's HRP. HRP.net, 281-880-6525, or HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Hi, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 733. Anything that you want to talk about with that Carlos Correa thing, you're more than welcome to get in here.
Yeah, I want to hear from, I see Astros Twitter all ablaze. So you guys give your thoughts on where you think the Astros stand right now in terms of Carlos Correa, or what you think the Astros' mindset is going into this, or even make a prediction where you think Carlos might end up. 713-780-3776. Astros obviously not done in free agency. I mean, they've lost three relievers. They've added one. They're going to be active with relievers. They're going to do the same thing. Pick. The thing is, there's no Brent Strom. Brent Strom is gone, and that was the guy who always, one of the things that he's been great at is finding somebody with a certain trait or talent, that trait's usually spin rate, and then developing them, and then those players are typically better than expected with the Houston Astros. That usually happens. Well, there's no Brent Strom this year, so it will be interesting to see how they develop pitchers this year, but I would expect them to sign probably two more arms in free agency, and then they're going to be active either at center field or at shortstop in free agency as well. That's going to happen.
Yep. All right, so Deshaun Watson. Missed this entire year, and he's going to miss the rest of the season. How about this? This is from BSO, Black Sports Online. They actually talked to Amy Dash and the League of Justice, and she has been talking to the lawyers, Tony Busby and Rusty Harden, apparently. Plaintiff's attorney Tony Busby told League of Justice that he has asked for dates to take Watson's deposition, but still has not been provided those dates. Now, as I understood it, it was supposed to be, maybe it's supposed to be by February 22nd, but I thought that was the date of his deposition, but apparently not. Apparently now Tony says he has to go to the judge and get some dates. And he says this. How about this? You want to talk about a deposition. How long do you think a deposition lasts?
I've been there for a deposition. I've been there for a standard deposition that lasted about, we were in Alabama for, I had to drive this lady named Frederica Wicker. I was in New Orleans at the time living there. She paid me to drive her to Alabama and back so she could work in the back of the car.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
you were driving Miss Wicker. Okay.
I was driving Miss Wicker. And so, that deposition, I was there for like 4 hours.
4 hours.
Yeah. These, though, are going to, and look how many there are.
The Deshaun, Tony Busby says.
And you have
says,
to align them as closely together as possible. Well, I would
I'm
say
just
over.
Talking about Deshaun, deposing Deshaun.
Deshaun?
Not the alleged victims.
Yeah, but it's Deshaun about that many victims.
Yeah.
Alleged victims.
40 hours. And he said, I'm using every minute of it. He gets 40 hours.
Oh, that's what he gets.
He gets 40 hours. Yeah. And he says, I'm going to use every minute. Because you can use the deposition during the trial, and if you slip him up, you say, well, wait a minute, right here, you said this, Mr. Watson.
Here's the thing. If you're Deshaun, and realistically, I mean, you're not supposed to lie on this stuff, but realistically, and I'm being real here, not even making a joke, how is Deshaun, these are 22 alleged victims who came forward.
Right.
How many did not? How many were consensual and all this stuff? I mean, realistically, do you think Deshaun is going to remember more than like four or five people total?
Well, he could always claim that. Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember.
I'm like, that was 2 years ago. Yeah. I have no recollection.
I don't know. I don't know Deshaun's memory. I do know.
I don't recall is going to be said a lot.
I do know he's playing a lot of golf lately. Deshaun's playing a lot of golf lately.
I heard.
Yeah.
He's not. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've heard.
So.
You've heard from the same guy.
He's got
some Michael Jordan in him.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about that. He's not very good yet at the game, but he's up there almost every day.
What about is he good with this?
Yeah. No, I don't.
No, he's not.
I don't think he is.
No, I heard directly from somebody like, yeah, he doesn't tip at all. I'm like, and I told this person like, he's probably saving up.
Yeah.
It's going to be an expensive offseason.
Well, here's the thing, though. You would think that because 22 lawsuits that Rusty Harden would already be hard at work deposing the alleged victims, they haven't even started yet. Apparently, they're starting today. Apparently, there are potential minefields on both sides. The accuser stories have to be consistent, obviously. This is what's got to happen. You know, and again, the accuser's depositions can be used against them in a court of law. But the depositions are just starting, and apparently they will be happening every day starting now. You would have thought that some of this might have been done already, but it hasn't been. It's just starting now. Yeah.
So much time passes before anybody does anything.
Well, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of research to be done. A lot of research to be done.
Just Google it. You're fine.
Yeah. And now Tony Busby's in on this Travis Scott thing. He's busy. He's really, really busy.
You probably don't see him ever.
You know, you're not going to see Tony until because he's going to be under this gigantic pile of money, and then he's just going to pop up, and there's Tony Busby. He's underneath all that money that is coming in here to him. He is going to make a boatload of money, but they're just getting started on the depositions for the victims. So that's happening now, and we'll find out when Deshaun is going to be deposed. 40 hours. He's going to be busy. Better get his golf in now because he's going to have 40 hours sitting in the chair talking to Tony Busby. He will really, really, really dislike Tony Busby when this is all said and done, if he doesn't already dislike Tony Busby. If he doesn't dislike Tony Busby now, wait till his 40-hour deposition.
He's going to hate him. It's going to have to last over, what, it's 5 days?
4 or 5 days. Yeah. Yeah,
because you don't want them answering questions for 8 hours.
Yeah, right.
Oh no! It's more than it's going to be at least 7 days.
Yeah. 7 days sitting there talking to Tony Busby about the same things over and over and over again. It's crazy.
I've got a question about. No, I'm not going to say it. I'd save it. I'll save that one for the break.
Okay. So much other stuff going on as well. Okay. Because we're going to have Dave Hardesty at the top of the hour. We'll talk college basketball. But what about all the
Rockets
basketball. Yeah. Dave Hardesty from Clutch Fans. We will have him. Other NFL stuff. Christian McCaffrey done for the season again. Dude, this is turning into.
You know, we're going to do an 8 o'clock hour. I'm going to take a look at all the second contracts. For and see how you like them. We'll take a look at Alvin Kamara, Christian McCaffrey, Ezekiel Elliott, and we'll see how you like the second contract.
I don't mind Alvin Kamara.
We'll go Todd Gurley. We'll take a look at all the recent the second contracts for big money. I mean, I think the analytics people have it wrong, and I'll tell you why. You draft them early, and you don't pay them the second contract. Get the best guys, ride them as hard as you can, and then don't pay them.
Yeah.
That's the methodology.
That's it. But except people get so attached, and oh, he's a great. Now Derrick Henry's the exception. Derrick Henry's the exception, except he got hurt too. But
Henry is the exception, except he also just got hurt.
Yeah, right.
And he's out for the year.
Right. But as far as production goes,
not much of an exception, is it?
Right. Yeah. I get that. I get that whole yes. You just made their point, but he's still a really, really good running back.
And say what? So is Christian McCaffrey. He's a really good running back, too.
He's always hurt.
What are his stats the last 2 years, as opposed to Derrick Henry's stats the last 2 years? Not even close.
Oh, no. Not in comparison, but he's super talented. Yeah, it's Austin Eckler was an undrafted free agent.
Yeah, and look at him. Look what he's built in production.
Tony Pollard was a fourth rounder. Look how good he is.
So when we come back, the coaching carousel. So much news, so much stuff. We'll get to it on the other side.
It is getting so thick right now. My gosh, another headline move yesterday.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. All right, 742 ESPN 97. John Clay Wolf is joining us here on the show. John Clay Wolf, welcome in. How are you?
I'm good. I'm trying to keep up with it myself. I mean, Lashley's going to SMU from Miami. Dykes is going to TCU from SMU. Lincoln's going to USC from OU. Kelly just announced he's going to Baton Rouge from Notre Dame. like, Jesus Christ, can anybody pick a girlfriend and just stick with her for a minute?
Not when there's 12
million. Do you stay with the same car for 10 years?
Yeah. No, you change cars, don't you? It's just like those guys changing underwear. Listen, apparently he's getting about $12 million to go to USC. You going to do that? Yeah, you're going to do that.
I loved the announcement on, was it Saturday or Sunday? He was like, I'm not going to LSU. Y'all need to stop that rumor right now.
Right.
Next morning, bye, everybody. I'm going to USC.
Right. So you can go see him when you go to LA, right?
Absolutely. We hang out like that.
Yes, absolutely.
Joey McGuire went to Texas Tech. You know, Joey McGuire was on my high school team.
Joey McGuire was? Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you said that. You told us that. He's a good coach, right? He's a really good coach.
I've been talking him up for a long time. I was begging SMU to hire him, and they just wouldn't listen. They said he's not seasoned enough. And then the Rich Oil guys from Fort Worth that own this company that used to play football at Tech pretty much slammed him in there and told him this is what we need to do, and they paid a lot. Anyway, well, he's there.
Anyway, what about cars? What about how's business going?
You know, the guys that pay the most money and have the best deal get the best talent, get the best stuff, and that's our thing is we buy the best cars and we pay the most for them, but we pay a little extra for the nicer stuff. Everybody's got normal stuff, like your car that we bought from your daughter.
The beauty.
It was very normal, not very nice. And we still paid extra.
You did pay extra. And when you said how much you would give me for it, I said, done. There was no haggling whatsoever. How about the kind of...
You buy kids?
How about the kind of client I am, okay? No haggling whatsoever. Yes, I'll take that. Thank you. Bye.
No haggle. Exactly.
That's right. Well, as a matter of fact, John Clay Wolf, he did a spot here on the show, Lance. Sell us your kids.
Well,
give us your kids.com.
How many? Is there a market?
Remember when we did that, John Clay Wolf?
Yeah. Remember? Y'all broke it all. Y'all had to take it bad underground and go non-PC and, like, split him into, okay, well, you know, it's half, he's a mulatto, you know, doesn't have papers, does have papers. Remember, y'all got all in.
Right, meth head. One was a meth head, but we didn't get much for him. We didn't get
very low rent, very lowest common denominator.
Right.
That is the John and Lance show. Not me. I would never do anything like that.
That was actually John and Raheel. Raheel did that one. but that's what happens with GiveMeTheVin.com. John Clay Wolf, you hear him on Saturday mornings right here on ESPN 97.5 at GiveMeTheVin.com.
Why don't we take a break?
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, 747 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Thanks to John Clay Wolf dropping the M word on the show. We appreciate that.
No, he didn't.
Drop the M word.
M. Oh.
Yeah. You heard it. You heard it.
Yeah, I heard that. I was like, well, okay.
Yeah.
I apologize about being involved in this spot.
I'm out. So here's the deal. So as John Clay Wolf broke down all the college coaches and what's going on, Lincoln Riley's contract is just ridiculous.
How would you not go?
I mean, you have to.
If 6'10 came after me and said, this is what we're going to do. Now I'm going to do this the same thing that Lincoln Riley. If they came to me and they said, Lance, we want to give you a guaranteed contract of whatever X amount. We want to buy your house for $500,000 over the asking price. We want to buy you a $3 million house here in Houston and give you unlimited use of our private jet 24/7 anytime you need it. I would be like, guys, it's time to talk about Lonnie Johnson and whether or not the Houston Texans are getting the right value from Lonnie Johnson and Terrence Metcalf and Jerry Metcalf and all their Metcalfs. It's time for us to really Mitchells. Get serious here. And they're Metcalfs. Guys, here's a serious question. Does David Culley deserve an extension back on Camp Cassell or Camp Casario or whatever whenever we come back? I will be talking about the Texans every break. If they give me a Lincoln Riley deal, I'll be like, you know what? You know what? People do care about the Texans a lot. I can tell.
Yeah.
And when we come back, we're going to talk about the safety position. What's going on in the back end of the roster that's going to make you excited about Texans football?
Is Charlie Heck the future at tackle? Next, we'll devote an hour to Charlie Heck football.
Next, Charlie Heck, one of the great draft picks, one of the great values of the fourth round when we come back. Yeah, mess around and give me this. Lincoln Riley, $110 million. U.S. is buying both of his homes in Norman for $500,000 over the asking price, which means they're $600,000. Buying a $6 million home in L.A. for him and unlimited use of a private jet 24/7. Hmm. You have to go. And besides that, he was scared of the SEC. Let's just be real. He didn't want to go to the SEC. Lincoln Riley's job was about to get substantially harder in the SEC. It just was.
Yeah.
And he knows it's coming sooner than later. Texas and Oklahoma, the curse of the SEC. Here's what happens to Oklahoma. They go to the SEC, they lose their coach, and they don't even get to the Big 12 championship.
Well, listen, Spencer Rattler is in the transfer portal.
Oh, hey. Oh, so, Dana?
No, you don't want to be Spencer Rattler.
Dana?
Spencer Rattler's going to
Spencer Rattler would be a better quarterback than Clayton Tune.
No, he wouldn't. No. Clayton Tune.
Yes, he would.
If Clayton Tune plays well, he's going to be the AAC player of the year.
I don't care. Spencer Rattler is a more talented player than Clayton Tune.
I'm not sure that that's the case.
Spencer Rattler is a creep. He's an immature kid who you may not like, but Spencer Rattler has talent. He didn't play great, and I think against Big 12 competition, Spencer Rattler has some talent.
Well, he's still going to be against Big 12 competition. Let's not forget. Spencer Rattler was terrible this year. It's terrible.
Well, I mean, he was out fairly early. Game four?
Clayton Tune went 14 touchdowns, no interceptions over a five-game span. That's pretty good. Spencer Rattler would not do that.
That's fine. I mean, the competition is... Relative.
Oh, yeah, it is. It is.
It's a relative level of competition. Let's not go. Houston was big favorites in a lot of those games.
So anyway.
UConn, not good. I mean, a lot of those teams. But I don't think it's crazy. So they go to the Big 12. They lose Spencer Rattler. They lose Lincoln. Riley. They don't go to the Big 12 championship game. The Longhorns have an embarrassing a stripper's monkey bites a child. They have a coach who has to explode on players because they're laughing and don't care. You lose five games in a row in embarrassing fashion, complete ass kickings, and you're definitely not in the Big 12 championship game. Curse of the SEC. And now Lincoln Riley knows that it's probably sooner rather than later you're going to head to the SEC. It's not going to be when they said 2025. It's going to be before then. Lincoln Riley, it looks like he wanted nothing to do
with the SEC,
with how hard the SEC is. That's what it looks like.
We've got Paul Feinbaum doesn't think that. He doesn't think that it was about the SEC. Here's Paul Feinbaum talking about that very thing.
A lot of my friends down south are suggesting that. I don't subscribe to that. I think Lincoln Riley is a good enough coach where he could win in the SEC, he could win in the Pac-12. He is at that level. He's elite. I do think it's easier, though. And quite frankly, after several years in Oklahoma, he's gone to the playoffs three times. He has gotten there, but he's just seemed like they were incapable of getting over the hump, meaning get a good enough defense that they could hang with an LSU or a Georgia or an Alabama, the three schools that they've lost to in the playoffs. And I just think he was looking for something else. We all know he's flirted with the NFL, and I just think Southern Cal is so attractive. This certainly isn't a knock on where he was, because it's one of the premier college football programs of all time, but so is Southern Cal. And Southern Cal, quite frankly, ranks a little bit higher than Oklahoma on the college football food chain.
I guess it, not lately, not of late, but USC tradition-wise. Listen, having that talent of the West, you can own California at USC. You can, you got a much easier road, all of that stuff. It looks like he took an easier road. I'm sorry. It does look like that. He didn't, apparently behind the scenes, he was pissed that Oklahoma was going to the SEC. Apparently behind the scenes, he said, screw LSU. I ain't got nothing to do with them. And then he turns around and he's at USC the next day. Did you see what the president of Oklahoma said? He tweeted, I wish we would have had more time. I wish we would have gotten more. And boy, did he get lit up. because everybody was like, yeah, so does the Big 12, which they had a little bit more time.
Yeah, let me tell you, once you do this, look, this is just the truth. Texas was a big part of, Southwest Conference, it was going to break up, it happened, but Texas was definitely a part of that. So there's bad feelings for University of Houston because they got squeezed and Baylor, and we know the whole thing. But then the Longhorn Network to go out and do their own thing and make their own money because they view themselves, maybe rightfully so, as above everyone else. Well, instead of being a team player, they ended up making a move that chased Nebraska out, chased Colorado out, and they're like, "What? Bleep you guys! We're gonna go. This is not about you." And chase the Aggies out, frankly. Then the Aggies are gone. Nebraska's gone, two regional, name brand teams regionally without question. Then you say, us in Oklahoma, we're going to the SEC. Then the Big 12 just completely, explodes. You leave those teams high and dry. I got news for Oklahoma and Texas. Pretty much now nobody likes you. You're not going to get nobody in this in the Big 12, in this area, in this conference has any affection for you at all because your movements and your actions have adverse effects on their money and their sustainability potentially as a major conference. It's just the truth. And I know I understand that Longhorns and Sooners may say, we don't care. We're not responsible for your money. But at some point, when is it about this is part of the group we are? Like, are you always a mercenary? Is it always? Because I can promise you in the SEC, It's about the sustained group when there's a caste system inside the SEC. But there's a reason they chant SEC, SEC, SEC. And somebody like my wife and other Longhorn fans, and I get it. I'm not saying I don't see this. I completely see it and agree with it. When they say, I would never chant Big 12, Big 12, Big 12.
Because,
but you don't care about the conference either.
No,
like the Big 12 doesn't care about their own conference. And the SEC has a regional, a love for their region.
When I first got married to Wendy, and we would go to LSU games, and after the game, we would come back, or before the game, we would be at my brother-in-law's house. He's watching Vanderbilt and Tennessee, or Vanderbilt and Kentucky. And I'm like, but there's Ohio State is playing. What are you watching here? He's like, no, this is what we watch. We watch Vanderbilt? That's all they care about is SEC football.
Yeah,
that's all they care about.
They really do.
They don't care. The Saints are fine. Whatever. We'll watch some of that. I guess on Sunday if we have to. But SEC football, bro, that is it. That is it.
It's their religion, and you're stepping into that if you're Oklahoma and Texas, and you better be ready because
you better be ready for
Jimbo
it.
Had one of the great wins in the season, and he finished 2-4. In the SEC West, and he beat Alabama. And by the way, I think we have to admit now, I think Bill O'Brien's agent tried to leak that Bill O'Brien was one of the hot names at LSU because I think it had to be his agent. Because a guy like Matt Jones from Kentucky Sports Radio, who's been around for a long time around SEC circles, he's now got a radio show on ESPN over the weekend. He had that. When he has that, he's pretty well connected. That's OB's agent has leaked stuff, and Billy has for years and years. We had a ton of leaks here in with the Texans. I know that's a rehab program at Alabama. I think when you look at LSU game, the Auburn game, the A&M game, I think it's possible that Bill O'Brien has had not only
Florida game,
the Florida second half. No. I think it's possible that Bill O'Brien not only has not rehabbed his image, I don't think he's added any value.
No.
In terms of a top job in college football.
All right, when we come back.
Almost impossible at Alabama.
Dave Hardesty from Clutch Fans is going to join us. We'll talk about this team and what's going on. Three straight wins on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, I'm talking about Chastang Ford, and I'm talking about, they gave us a foursome. They gave us a foursome out at the golf tournament that we'll give away in a little bit. Thank you, guys. They're busy. They're really, really busy. What they're doing is they're customizing deals for you. They're customizing. And this is, listen. And that's a little tougher. When you go out on the lot and you see, there's this car and this car and this car, and I got to take that. I really don't want the sunroof, or I really don't want the leather, or I really don't want that bedliner, or I want a bedliner, whatever the case may be. You don't have to do that anymore. You customize the vehicle exactly how you want it, be it the F-150 Expedition, the Explorer, whatever it is. You can customize all of your vehicles right now at Chastang Ford, and they're not going to add anything on. Listen, this is way different than every other dealership. They won't let you do everything online. Chastang says, oh, you go online right now at Chastang Ford, and you're going to get help from someone in the corner, in the lower right-hand corner. And what all they're going to do is help you guide through you through this, but they're certainly not going to suggest anything else that you have to buy from them because there are no dealer add-ons. Customize exactly how you want it at ChastangFord.com or at 610 on Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown. You want that Ford car or truck exactly as you want it, it's Chastang Ford.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today.